Welcome to the Encouragement for Work podcast with your host, Mark Griffin, founder and owner of In His Name HR. Each week, Mark interviews nationally known thought leaders from corporate America, higher education, churches, and ministries. His goal is to bring you great ideas that help engage your employees, shift your culture toward higher performance, and increase employee loyalty at the organization you lead. Each episode features an idea or process that's made a tremendous impact on employees and employers alike. Now sit back, relax, and listen in as he delivers encouragement today through this episode's special guest.
Hello, and welcome to this week's podcast of Encouragement for Work. Today, I have my good friend and author, Brady Pyle, on Encouragement for Work. Today, we're going to be talking about building out of this world leaders. Brady has been a friend of mine for over 10 years. He's got incredible experience working at a variety of different organizations, and Brady's going to tell you more about his background. But currently, Brady serves as Vice President of Human Resources at the Space Center in Houston. It's a leading nonprofit science and space exploration learning center that serves as an official visitor center for NASA's Johnson Space Center. So if any of you have been to Houston and you go to visit the Space Center, more than likely you're going to meet Brady or somebody on his team. Brady, I'd like to welcome you to Encouragement for Work. And if you tell the audience a little bit more about your background, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mark. And yeah, like you mentioned, we've known each other about 10 years. I was pleased to be part of the College to Career book that you wrote, which has been a great resource to a number of family and friends over the years as well. So thank you for that. My journey started actually when I was in the ninth grade. I felt a calling to public service and to work in the government. So I went to school at Texas A&M University, primarily because A&M had the option to do co-op opportunities for non-engineering students. A lot of schools in the 1990s had co-op opportunities for engineering students, but not many for business or other occupation. So I was studying public administration. While I was at A&M, I had the opportunity to work for the Department of Health and Human Services. I actually interviewed for a job they had in Washington, D.C., which was always a goal of mine to go work in D.C. At the time I interviewed, I was a sophomore in college, and they said, hey, we typically bring grad students to D.C., but we liked your interview. Would you be willing to go work in Dallas? And so I worked in the regional personnel office for the Department of Health and Human Services in Dallas for a semester, was ultimately able to get that D.C. experience, but that started my love of HR and really my passion for HR and government service. Decided to go into graduate school in the HR management degree at Texas A&M. Reached out to different federal HR offices in Texas to do a study about how they were set up and how they were organized. NASA said, hey, we can't fill out your study, but come visit us. Came down and visited them at the Johnson Space Center. After taking a look at their operation, and they had generalists who served as management consultants, all the customers were on site, which was different from my Dallas experience, where we were a regional personnel office servicing a five-state region. It was just real intriguing. So I asked, how can I get involved here? They offered a graduate co-op opportunity. And in 1995, I joined the Johnson Space Center. Worked for about 10 years as an HR rep, kind of an internal management consultant, and then started management and leadership career after that. Did a lot of things. I actually moved up the ranks in HR at the Johnson Space Center, and then did a stint for 9 months as a frontline leader in engineering in 2013, because we really feel like the frontline leaders are key to employee engagement and culture. So walked in their shoes for 9 months, came back to HR shortly after that, was named the HR director, first executive role that I had at NASA. Served in that role about 3 years, and then NASA changed its whole HR model. Rather than being decentralized and reporting to your local center director, HR was managed more corporately. So I moved into a position where I supervised the other executive HR leaders across NASA. Did that for about 3 years, and then became the deputy chief human capital officer for NASA in the last 3 years of my NASA career. Over 5 years, we reduced costs and workforce by about 25%. and I got pretty tired, needed a change. Fortunately, was able to take early retirement from the federal government and stepped into this role in February. Across the street from the Johnson Space Center, Space Center Houston's the official visitor center. We're the only avenue, only ticket to get on site to the Johnson Space Center. And over here, it's been a lot of fun. It's 150 full-time staff, another couple of hundred part-time and seasonal, but able to bring a lot of lessons learned over my NASA career into the space. So it's been a lot of fun looking at leadership development from a different perspective and a different lens.
Wonderful. You have an incredible background, not only in leading in government agencies, but also in human resources. And we're excited to talk about more about that as we talk about building out of this world leaders, which is the main topic. But one thing that you brought up that piqued my interest as an HR professional is, and a lot of organizations that I've worked with was either an employee or a manager or director, we believed in rotating frontline leaders as well. How else better to understand the product, the service, than to have employees that are deployed that really understand it to the level of the technicians working on the product itself? So before we get into more around the topic that you brought to us, could you speak to the group a little bit more about that? Some of our listeners may be a smaller organization of 50 million in sales, and they have 30 or 40 employees, but they're looking forward and they're thinking, what type of programs should I put in place? So could you speak a little bit about that, Brady, to the audience? I know we're going to have a lot of questions around that.
Yeah, Mark, that's a great point. And, you know, NASA's organization of 18,000 employees, we had 3,000 at the Johnson Space Center. So job rotation was easy to do and a key part of our strategy. So, you know, rotating to different parts of the organization to very different roles, like I did moving from HR over to engineering and giving a different perspective there, was a key part of our strategy. So I can speak directly to that because coming to an organization of 150 people, one of the talent strategy principles that we have, we're growing at about 10% per year here. And one of the things I pushed with the executive leadership team is I said, look, as we grow, I think half of our new positions need to be filled with internal talent. And we've got buy-in to that strategy. So aligning our HR strategies now to that is about leadership development, job rotations. Our CEO wanted a project manager to support him with some of the new projects that he's got going. And in the past, when he was at the California Science Center, he brought on someone from a university who was studying museum studies. And that was the request that he brought to me. And I said, look, this is a great opportunity for development. You know, someone to work directly with you and see a broader view of Space Center Houston. And so we've worked through that. And it's very challenging because the rest of the leaders go, well, I can't afford for my key player to be spending, you know, a year on a rotational assignment. And I've talked to him about, well, look, that gives other opportunities for your staff. Maybe we do rotations internally to fill that gap. Eventually, we're going to have to hire someone down the road to fill the empty space, and we're budgeting for that. But it's working through those discussions is very important, and I think everyone is realizing now as we're actually going through the interview process now. We've got some key people that will be tough losses where they are, but wow, what a great development opportunity!
Of course.
You know, to basically shadow the CEO and kind of learn more about the organization. So we are working our way through that. And I believe that's a huge part of developing leaders.
Yeah, I do as well. And I look at it kind of as future casting. Take the current organizational chart and say, 5 years from now, what do we want it to look like? What positions are we going to need? And do we have that internal talent? And then bridging the gap. So you need to train the internal talent to fill those gaps, so that when you're ready to expand, those folks can be deployed. And those are usually the people that are going to stay most committed to you, right? Because you spent time looking at their career, looking at their backgrounds, and then saying, hey, you're so important. We have this position 5 years from now. You may have to get a master's degree. You may have to get a certificate maybe in marketing if it's a marketing position. But giving that person the chance to step in the gap, growing quickly, and just hiring external people can dilute your culture, as we all know, and also upset people internally that are saying, hey, what about us? why don't we have those higher level positions? So I love that that came up so early in our conversation. So let's segue into the topic of building out of this world leaders. And let's talk about how you came up with the concept, how to apply the concept, and then I'll have some questions.
Yeah, Mark. So a couple of things. And the title is actually, it's a brand that I developed a little more than 10 years ago. I started a blog called Out of This World Leadership, because my personal passions are around building leaders, you know, helping people improve their leadership and improve organizational leadership wherever I go as well. We focused a lot on that at NASA. And one of the things we did the last several years is we really use the framework that was developed by the Center for Creative Leadership, the 70-20-10 framework, to explain our strategy and approach to leaders. So that says 70% of leadership development is about experiences on the job. So these job rotations, projects that you pick up, demonstrating excellence where you are, that's 70% of leadership development. 20% is about connections and contacts. So that's where mentoring and coaching comes in. 10% is about leadership training. And the reason that's such a helpful framework, at least certainly within NASA, and I've seen that a little bit at Space Center Houston and some other organizations that I've worked with over the years, usually when people think leadership development, they jump to the training. And so the framework of showing, hey, it's really about job experience. It's also about the mentoring and coaching that are key elements. So at NASA, we had a robust job rotation program, as we talked about. We had a robust coaching program. So we leveraged an organization called Better Up that does remote virtual coaching, which was extremely valuable the last several years in particular. And then we had a pretty robust mentoring program as well. At one point back in the day, our mentoring program was branded Yoda, Your Opportunity to Develop Another. And we had worked with Lucasfilms. They actually gave us a little unique Yoda pen. We actually had to move away from that branding as we saw the research on mentoring was showing mentoring needs to be two-way.
Sure.
And so the
sure.
Yoda branding yeah. was getting in the yeah. way of the two-way and a reverse.
Yeah, it'd be branding. Confusing. I understand.
Right. But mentoring was key. And then we had clearly kind of leadership development from a training perspective as well. We had a series of courses. So when I stepped into Space Center Houston, you know, it's again 160 full-time staff, about 25 positions that manage people, and they really didn't have any tools available to them. We started right away. I engaged with BetterUp, and we engaged with individual coaching engagements with all of our managers. The organization was willing to make that investment. It was about $3,000 a person for a 6-month coaching engagement. And those engagements were driven by the individuals. What did they want to focus their development on? Then we started a cross-department mentoring program because, again, we're in periods of growth. So really wanted to build those relationships and knowledge networks kind of across the organization and across departments. And then we've started introducing some of these job rotations as well. And where can we fill jobs with internal talent and grow individual and organizational capability? So it's been a lot of fun, less than a year so far.
Sure. So what's been your greatest challenge getting all this information together in one spot and being able to offer it to people? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so what we decided to do, like getting the Better Up coaching, getting the mentoring, we've been delivering things kind of one at a time. So I talked to the CEO about the broader strategy and my plan over the next couple of years of how we develop leaders. But we haven't talked in terms of that full strategy across the board. We're just introducing kind of new things as we go. Don't want to overwhelm folks
sure.
up front and kind of pace things out. But yeah, so that's working well for us because they're engaging with each opportunity we offer.
Sure. That's wonderful. Now, Brady, we just have a few minutes left in the podcast. I have two questions if you could answer on our way out. And one is, if a smaller organization is considering doing your plan, the way that you approach things from a leadership perspective, what's the best way for them to start doing that? And the second question is, we have a lot of listeners that are Christians. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that most often that we have is, what's it like to be a Christian in a governmental agency? And what advice would you give folks that are out there that are Christians in a government agency in navigating their faith in the workplace? What's a great way to do that? Because it's a difficult circumstance, I know, now more than it was 30 years ago. And I have my own ideas and thoughts around it, but people would love to hear your encouragement. So just quickly, those two questions, Brady. Thank you.
Yeah, so small organizations, I think, start with quick wins. You know, what can you get out there? Is it a small mentoring program? Maybe you're pairing up a couple of key leaders with future leaders. So being strategic about those quick wins. I'm also glad to talk to anyone about ideas, bounce ideas back and forth. You can reach me through LinkedIn or other ways. As far as being a Christian and being yourself in the federal government, that did get, I would say, challenging depending on the administration. Sure. that was there and some of the things they put in place. You know, I started a little more than 10 years ago. I mentioned I started this blog, this Out of This World Leadership blog. And I'll post something about once a week on the blog. And then I highlight that post on LinkedIn and Twitter, you know, my social feeds. And so people would see that my blog is used. I use that for my own spiritual
sure.
growth.
Yeah.
So I have a focus
yep.
each year on spiritual growth. I'm doing a study on Ecclesiastes this year.
Wonderful.
So
that's awesome.
So there are clear messages of my faith and what I believe that I put out there. And what's been fascinating, Mark, is on LinkedIn, there are people from around the world going, wow, a NASA person is speaking about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, tell me more of what's going on. I didn't start a lot of those conversations in the workplace, but people were watching. They were watching my LinkedIn. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And that's amazing, brother. And I love that we're closing on that soundbite, because we are the modern day disciples. Jesus gave the message. He said, go out to the world and tell them, which said, go back to the workplace. And that's what we're all about, is being authentic, not being offensive. And when people see the light and they have questions and they say, hey, Mark, what's going on? Why are you so happy? The whole world's collapsing. We can tell them what the message is. That's not illegal and it's not disruptive to the workplace. So you gave a key thought and idea, Brady, to so many people, and we're so blessed by it. I want to thank you again for showing up for this podcast, and we're excited to get it out to the listeners. We'll be praying for you and Nassau, and God bless you and have a great 2024. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Mark.
This episode of Encouragement for Work has been brought to you by Job Shepherd. Post-COVID-19 recruitment has been unquestionably hard for employers, with many struggling to find quality employees in the aftermath. Religious-exempt employers have had an especially difficult time. Welcome to Job Shepherd, a platform that will change all of this for you. Job Shepherd was created to meet the demand by Christian employers, including ministries, camps, churches, colleges, and Christian for-profit companies in their search for qualified job candidates. Now, for a limited time only, employers post a job for free. Job seekers, come join us. You are always free. Learn more at www.jobshepherd.com.